Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, pop off, me and my clique.
Welcome to Wrestling It Factor Radio for February the 25th, 2015. Your host, Wayne Benitez, the number one student of the game called pro wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest for you tonight. She's a third generation superstar of the business, ballet manager. Give it up for Roxy, Rossi.
Yeah, I was starting. I was kind of jamming out there to the music.
Yes, definitely giving you an intro.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to be here. Ask away.
Yes, it's an honor for you to be on here. And how was it like have a generation of a father and grandfather in the business?
It was definitely interesting growing up. I mean, it was kind of cool because my dads weren't like every other kids, you know. They weren't going to work in a suit and tie, but it had its ups and downs. But I mean, now I realize how cool it is now that I've gotten older.
And who did you idolize growing up in while watching it?
I was always more of like a fan of the old school, and that's probably because, you know, I grew up around a lot of those guys. For guys, as far as like some of the guy wrestlers I really loved was like, you know, Jackie Fargo, Luthez, Sputnik, Monroe, Billy Wiggs. I loved Billy Wiggs. You know, and then anyone in the 80s from Andre the Giant, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I love Rob Van Dam. I think he's awesome. Mick Foley. I liked a lot of the old school in the 80s era. And then, I don't know, like for women, Mildred Burke has always been my favorite for women. And she's from like the 1950s on. Her and Mae Weston, June Byers. I definitely liked some more old school route, I guess.
Definitely awesome cast of talent.
I mean, legends.
Exactly, definitely the Fargo brothers. They definitely paved the way for even got guys in the business like the Flairs and the Even Jeff Jarrett, yeah, with the strut.
Yep. Fargo strut.
And also, what about your, have you ever watched any footage of your granddad wrestling?
Yeah, I actually, it's hard to find footage of him. We've been trying to, because, you know, his time was back in, like, the 50s when, I mean, it's just hard to find tapes that exist or even know how to play them, but we did find one on YouTube. I think it was from 1956, I could be wrong, of him wrestling, and it looks great. Like, the quality looks awesome considering how old it is. It's in black and white, but it was really cool to see, and I was watching it with him when we were on vacation in Florida, and he was like, that's not even my best match, you know, so, and I was just excited to see it, but he was like, that one's not even my favorite, you know, but we've been trying to find footage, and he's been putting the word out there to any fans who may have some, or old promoters, so hopefully we'll get some hits on it.
Yep, the great Len Rossi. And I've seen one of his I've seen one of his matches was against Yamamoto in 1955.
Oh, Tojo Yamamoto?
Yes.
Yeah, they had matches all the time. They had a big feud, and my dad had some with him too, and yeah, they had a couple matches, more than a couple, but yeah. Yep, he's wrestled a lot of people.
And I think he actually did over thousands of matches. He was telling his story actually on Memphis Heat.
Yeah, over 7,000, you know, around that number, and on the road all the time, every day. So yeah, I mean, thousands of matches. He's been in the business a long time. He retired when he got in a car wreck, and you know, that's when he kind of opened his own business and learned about medicine and all that stuff. So, but, you know, he stayed involved off and on for a little while. He was an announcer in Memphis TV wrestling for a little bit. So, you know, he's done a lot.
And what got your interest in training, the be in the biz?
Really, it was kind of a fluke thing. Growing up, I mean, you know, of course it was a huge part of my life, but it was just kind of meeting the right people at the right time, and I was, like, modeling and acting and stuff like that, and I've always liked, like, being in entertainment, and, you know, it was just kind of offered to me, and I was like, yeah, let's do it, and I got up there and got addicted to it and how fun it is, like everyone else, and, you know, you get to go up there and... you know, cause a little madness or whatever you want to do. And I never experienced anything like that. So growing up in it didn't hurt, but I kind of just did it on my own. It wasn't like, you know, something that was I prepared for, I guess, growing up. But I grew up watching it, you know, Jimmy Hart, Vicky Guerrero, Miss Elizabeth. Like, I mean, I always thought that they were really talented at knowing when to be seen and when to just fall back. So definitely kind of noticed that.
Definitely. And also, have you watched any of your dad's, any of his matches of the 70s and 80s?
Yeah, I have a lot of them on tape, on VHS tape, so I grew up watching those because we had more of them, and then, you know, he was always kind of wrestling around with us in the living room and stuff like that. He would come up to me in school in front of everybody and just be like, you know, fireman's carry, and just, like, put you in, you're trying to be cool in front of your friends, you know, and, like, he knew it and would do stuff like that. But, yeah, I saw a few of his matches, and, you know, met a bunch of people over the years that would just tell me about him, and they still do, and I love that because, you know, he passed away a few years back, and it's just nice to hear stories that you've never heard before.
Right. and I think he actually did work in Japan also.
Yeah, he spent a long time in Japan. I think he had kind of slowed down over here, so he flew over to Japan and worked some of the toughest guys in the business over there. They're pretty hardcore in Japan, you know, but they're very respectful.
Definitely. Definitely a whole lot of respect, definitely.
Yeah.
And he also had a couple of stints in the WWF also, the WWE.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
He also had a couple matches in the WWF era of the early 80s.
Yeah. He wrestled for a little bit, quite some time in the 80s. But then, you know, he kind of started a family and moved on and opened his own business with my granddad, and they had, you know, success with that. And then later he became a politician, and so he was always kind of moving. He loved wrestling, and he was talented at it, but he always loved other things too. He was great at politics, great at history. He was very smart, you know, and so he always had a backup plan. And I think that was the best thing he could have ever done, you know. And so he loved it, and I don't think he missed it because he was always busy doing something else, you know.
And also, one of his matches was also with Tito Santana when Tito Santana held the Intercontinental Championship.
Oh, one of my dad's managers?
Yeah, one of his matches, yeah, in the day to
wow,
yesterday.
What year was that?
I think this was, I'd say early 80s, maybe 82, 84.
Okay, well, you know more than I do.
And you definitely do. You do have an athletic background, right?
Yeah. I was always very competitive, and I think that's part of. I had like two brothers growing up, and you know, I have two stepbrothers now. But I was always trying to be better than the boys because I had more to prove. So I don't know. I just always loved sports. I played basketball, track, volleyball, ran. You know, exercise. I was always. I'd rather do that when I was, like, young in high school than go out and hang out with friends because I always wanted to bring home the trophies to Dad, you know, because he was always, he was a competitive person, too. So it's just kind of, it's in my blood, it's in my family. We're just, you know, go-getters. That was another part of wrestling I liked is just trying to win and the thrill of it. And, you know, I'm kind of a poor sport when I lose. I'm not going to lie, but... guess it's part of being competitive.
Yeah. And what are your thoughts on debuting on the first show?
I was really nervous. I think I was at Saw, I didn't really know what to expect because I hadn't ever done it before. And I went out there, and, you know, you're always kind of nervous because you don't know what's going to happen. And the minute I walked out there, I was lucky enough to be with Rick Santel and some great people. And it was kind of easy after that because I've never found it hard to make people not like me. especially women, they don't like me too much, and hell, I don't like them either if that's what they think, you know. So after that, it was like game on, you know. If you want to step up, then let's do this. And from there, it just kind of came naturally, you know. I don't think it's too hard to out, you know. If someone wants to compete with me or try to yell at me or get in my face, then it's like I have no problem returning the favor, and that seems to come easy to me because I've always been kind of a strong, independent person, you know.
And what are your thoughts of being a part of the A-Team?
I loved the A-Team. It was fun while it lasted, and I mean, you know, those are my boys, and I loved it. I mean, I had the best, some of the best times of my life doing that. And, yeah, so, I mean, I had a blast.
Your thoughts of Paul Adams?
Paul's my homie. I love him. He's still one of my good friends. So, I mean, he's the first person I met, kind of started talking to, and then met everyone else. But, yeah. I still love Paul. He's so goofy. He's got a love relationship with David Young. They're always fighting and fussing like an old married couple, but
and I still remember one of the angles that I think he was being arrested by the sponsor Bell Bonds or something.
Well, he actually did get arrested. He was fishing without a license. It's pretty hardcore. It's a pretty hardcore charge. So I don't know where he was fishing at. Maybe he was hungry, wanted to make some dinner, you know, needed to catch some food, live off the land. But he got caught and did the time for the crime. But, yeah, he got arrested by Grumpy's Bail Bonds. Leah Hoolin herself came by to pick his ass up. So.
What are your thoughts of Jesse Emerson?
I would do anything for Jesse because he's such a great guy and he deserves it. I mean, he's great in the ring and I would do anything it takes for him to win. I think I did a few times, and if I got back, you know, managing him again tomorrow, I would do the same thing. And he just started a family. He's got two kids now. I think one on the way. And so, yeah, I love Jesse to death. He's such a good person and like, very much a professional.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like that he's definitely can make it in either two big companies of WWE or TNA.
Yeah, he could, and he's really smart too. He's I think a DA in Indiana. So I mean, yeah, he definitely. There's a lot of guys out there that could make it, but I mean, there's, you know, only 1% of wrestlers today are on TV. So that's out of the whole world. So you really have to like commit your whole life to it, and I think that's why it's important to always have a backup plan. You know, go to school, get a degree, and do it. You know, when you want to, and all that.
Right. Definitely. And what are your thoughts of Rick Santel?
Rick, you know, he's my partner. All those guys I love to death. So, you know, Rick's like me. He's competitive, and he's going to do what it takes. He had an injury take him out, but I hope to see him again soon, you know.
Right.
But these days, I get to, you know, I'm going to be on a new show coming up here. It's going to feature some pretty big stars. We got Ricky Morton, Al Snow, X-Pac, you know, from DX. I'll be escorting Tracy Smothers to the ring. So, baddest man in the business.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, he will make JBL piss on his pants.
yeah, I can't wait. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be my first time valeting for him, but that's Saturday, April 4th at 7:00, and there's a special meet and greet at 5:00, so you can actually meet all the legends. And you know, for tickets, you can call 931-704-8475 and general admission's at the door. I'll be there. It's going to be a full card. It's going to be awesome. So I'm excited. I've always been a fan of the legends and stuff, but it doesn't matter. I mean, whoever we're up against, I'm still going to do whatever it takes to win, no matter, you know, how many times I've watched them growing up. It's still, you know, it's winning still on the table for me, so.
What are your memories of having your first running your first show?
It was like it was fun at first, and then when it's almost time to do the show, I think you're just so over it because you're constantly you never get a second to stop when you're a promoter, that you're just like ready for it to be over, but then it's exciting too. But definitely it was a learning lesson. My first thoughts were like, I mean, anything I do, I just like jump in, and I've always have a lot of confidence because I know who I am and know what I can do. And my first thoughts were, you know, being excited and nervous and all that. But it was fun. I mean, it was awesome to like be on the other side of it. I think over time, that's like what I would like to do, you know, is kind of be on the back end of it. But definitely a lot of drama. You're sent your way, and you're constantly putting out fires and trying to promote it, and not at the same time. So it can be stressful, but I'm glad I did it because it gave me like an all new respect for promoters out there today on the indie circuit. Because I mean, it's just really hard to make it as an indie company when you have, you know, WWE and TNA out there. I mean, it's hard to compete.
Right. Definitely. And you actually real young running it all, so.
Yep. So, and especially being a woman too, it's like you just kind of have to see some people don't want to work with you if you're young, you know, chick running a show, and other people are all about it. So you just kind of got to push the boundaries a little bit and, you know, screw what they think and do whatever you want, you know. If you mess up, you mess up, but at least you put yourself out there.
Right, exactly. And also, what's your thoughts of Reno Riggins of Soul Wrestling?
Reno, I love Reno. I mean, I haven't seen him in a while, but yeah, I mean, Reno's a great promoter and still runs Saw, and I'd like to work with him anytime in the future. The Saw is who I started with, you know. They were kind of my original crew and broke me in and taught me, you know, what to do. And then from there, I just pick it up and ran with it. So anybody from that crew, it's like, you know, they got a spot in my heart too. Maybe even some of the fans, but not really most of them.
And they the show was actually syndicated. It was actually top-notch, actually. So much entertaining, well, storytelling, driven with good matches. And I would say it was even close to 10 times better than WWE Raw.
Well, that's a pretty big compliment. I don't know if many shows can touch Raw, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's, you know, we did our best, and that's what counts. But I mean, thank you.
Definitely. And also, do you watch the current product of WWE, TNA, ROH, and Lucha Underground?
I watch ROH. It's one of my new favorites. I go to every show every time they come to Nashville. You know, some people in the business don't want to go to shows, you know, unless they're on them, stuff like that, and I usually don't. But if it's something that I think is like, if it's something that has me on the edge of my seat and I'm excited about, I'm right there with it. I'm sitting in the stands yelling too, because you know, I think a lot of people forget that work in the industry is that they started off as fans. I mean, 99% of them did. Not many people just kind of like stumbled upon it, you know. So it's like, I'm going to keep that forever, because I just remember those moments of being a kid and watching it on TV, getting excited, you know, what villain, what your hero was. And I, you know, still haven't lost that. But I watch some stuff. I watch WWE a little bit, and I watch Ring of Honor all the time. TNA, I haven't watched as much, but I've watched it in the past when certain people I like are going to be on. But I've been watching WWE, looking out for Rob Van Dam, because he's one of my all-time favorites. So if someone I like is going to be on the show, I'm watching it, you know.
and definitely TNA is on a smaller network that half of the United States don't have.
Oh, what, they're in Destination America now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm like a total nerd, and I watch all those, like, UFO shows, which happen to be on that channel. So half the time I see, you know, TNA anyway. But, yeah, I mean, but I'm glad they're still on, you know. I wouldn't want them to ever not be on TV or go out of business or anything, because that would be horrible for so many people, so many talents in the business to lose their jobs, you know. So as many companies like that keep trying and get to that level, it's like I hope they succeed, because that only makes people in the, you know, it only increases our chances in the indies of getting a spot, you know, that 1% of people on TV goes up. So, yeah, I love Kurt Angle and some of the people on there, and I hope they become as big as WWE is today.
Right, they've been trying for 12 years, but it seemed like their president Dixie Carter, she's still trying to figure it out herself.
Yeah, I think a lot of people try to, you know, push all the blame on her. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, that company, they took it from something small to something to where it is now, which is still a big deal. And she's got tons of people working for, you know, hundreds of people working for her and doing all these things for her. I mean, she doesn't write the show herself, you know. She's just like the CEO, you know. So it's not just one person involved. It's definitely the writers and you know, just everything involved. But, I mean, I think that if anything, like, given time can grow and come up with something just totally different. And that's why I'm big on Ring of Honor. I want to keep an eye on them, because they're something so fresh that I haven't seen in a long time. You know, they got passion, they got heart, they're full on into it. And when I was at the fairgrounds watching them, they were packing it out. So I think TNA had that once. I think that they might have lost a lot along the way, and I think that they can get that back because of the talent that they have, and because they do have some talented people working for them. I mean, and it's not like an easy thing to pull off, because wrestling is such a small pool, small world now.
Right, and they've been growing more and more from year by year, and now they are considered the number two company in the U.S. They surpassed TNA because of their pay-per-view deals, and TNA is like actually, yes, because TNA actually almost 100% out the pay-per-view business for live pay-per-views.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, yep. So apparently I was right, you know. When I saw their first show in Nashville, I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. Like, so I knew I was coming back. Whenever they came back, I knew I got tickets, you know. I was like, I'm just so down. And I mean, Briscoe Brothers, I always love watching them, because they're just crazy, I'll put it that way, you know. And AJ Styles, I saw him wrestle, and it was like, I was like a huge fan of his. It was like electric on fire, the crowd was up and going. I mean, the energy in the building is what it's all about, and like every time I've seen them, they're just hype and everybody's loving it, and I think that's why they're so successful. I'm predicting, like, give them a few years and they're going to be, like, they're going to be huge, you know?
Right. And I'm just still hoping for them, even though they are owned by a syndication broadcast company. And I just hope that is either way they can sign a deal with a WGN, that's sort of like a I think that's only the affiliate major channel in the United States. From Chicago that has like
I hope they get a major TV deal too. I mean, I think given time and everything takes a little time to grow and you know, just finding the funding and sponsors and all that. I mean, I have no doubt we'll see him on you know, primetime cable here soon, you know.
Right. And I think definitely that WGN also knows about Ring of Honor, of them selling out every Sunday in Chicago and stuff. And
well, wrestling travels around, like news travels so fast, it's like high school. I mean, everybody's in everybody's business and knows the stats and if your show sinks or does well. So yeah, I'm sure a few stations know about it.
Right. And it seems like wrestling is kind of sort of like coming back to sort of like the territorial days. Again, it seems like it's headed that way also, where guys get to work whatever they want to work instead of being tied up to long-term contracts.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like it's ironic in a way because back in the day, that's all it was, is like, you know, indie, small town, and that was, like, the wrestling business. And then, you know, WWE came in, Vince McMahon Sr. and Vince McMahon Jr. came in, and they bought up all the territories, and that was extremely smart, but it killed the indie wrestling business, and they became a major company, and that became, like, the, you know, they marketed it to the public and knew how to get it, put it out there for everyone to see, and then became worldwide, and it just kind of took over. But it's ironic because it got so popular, it let everyone in the world get a chance to see what wrestling is and experience it. So it created more indie wrestling, you know, shows and circles and people trying to mimic and imitate it or be a part of it in the long run. So, you know, it's like everything comes back around, life's a big circle. But, it's just because you're not on a contract or anything like that, you're not going to stop doing what you love. You know, it doesn't matter. It's like you're still going to get out there and do what you got to do. And you know, the indies are fun. People knock the indies. And, I mean, what better way do you want to spend your Friday or Saturday night than going to your local, you know, wherever, sports center and catching out people like Al Snow, people coming up on this show, X-Pac's going to be there. I mean, you got some big names that are doing indies. It doesn't matter where they've been or where they came from. It's like that's where everybody starts and doesn't make you any – some of the people today that are signed to contracts aren't better than half the people I've seen on the indies. You know, they just have a good character or they have a face that sells it, you know, or they have something that gives them that it factor. So it's like it's not necessarily about talent, but it is about if you're a talented person, I guess.
Right. And I think actually Vince now sees that everybody got I think it should be everybody have different types of body types, not the we don't need to see like 20 or 30 John Cena, Randy Orton body types on TV.
Yeah, yeah. And but, you know, it's like I think some of the guys that didn't as much look like that back in the day, like Andre the Giant, you know, where are you going to create another Andre the Giant or Mick Foley or people like, I mean, they didn't have to look like, you know, a Ken doll. They knew what they were doing and they were some of my favorites, you know, and that's not knocking the people today because it's like, I think, you know, to be a healthy role model, it's like you can't just be lazy. I mean, you need to work out. You need to be as fit as you can be and look right and give your all because you don't want to hurt somebody when you get in the ring because you're not strong enough. Or so at the same time, it's like I'm kind of for both, you know. I prefer to be fit and stay fit and to look my best, you know. And I think most
right.
people in the wrestling have always been into fitness and health and think that way.
Right. And definitely Bray Wyatt's character definitely shows it right there. He's not he doesn't have the six pack, and he tells a story also and get over by his in ring work also.
Yeah, it's very like relatable and it's people who like always seem to get my interest are people I can relate to or come through. It's not so acted out or scripted. They're just like speaking from their heart. They're just being real, you know. It's like if I'm doing an interview, whether it's this interview or whoever's talking to me, I'm just going to tell you like it is because that's who I am, you know. And I think people like that and have been like that, that's the people you like love the most or love to hate, whatever. It's like they're just real and they're not phony.
Exactly. And what you think of women wrestling now, the current women wrestling?
I think it's come really far from the days of, like, you know, the old school ladies, I mean, who paved the way because they weren't accepted in the locker room, and now it's like, it's a total different set. I mean, they've got shows on E! And reality TV and all this stuff, so it's like, I think that's awesome, and I respect any chick who's out there doing her thing, and I've never been one to, like, knock girls unless, you know, girls sit there and talk crap about it. So it's like any girl that's out there doing what I love and just, like, you know, being a part of the sport, the boys club, it's like I'm all for that. So I love that. But I particularly like women who don't necessarily, like, you know, get the boob job and the lip job and the plastic surgery and all that bullshit because if it comes off as, like I said, it's not – I don't look at them and see myself on that TV screen. I like the women who are just doing their thing, being themselves, and they're in it to win it. They're not. They don't care if they got their lipstick on. So it's like I like women athletes who come to play, you know. Because if it were me, I mean, I'm gonna look good doing my thing, but I'm there to win and beat you at the end of the day. I don't care if my hair's messed up.
Right. Just like Split. Ric Flair's daughter, Charlotte, she's from an athletic background, and she's not worrying about her look, she's worrying about the wrestling.
Yeah, and like, you know, girls like Tamina Snuka, Natty Hart, like all those people, I mean, a lot of the third generations, like they grew up kind of knowing the history of it, and that's like really important because it's different than just kind of being, you know, a model who they happen to see somewhere and they picked you out, put you in training, and then put you in the road. Like, you can just tell the difference because there's just so much more level of appreciation. I mean, some of the people that are in the top spots today, some of the women in the top spots today, they don't even know the lingo. They don't know what half the stuff means. You know, they don't – some of their – you know, you ask them who their favorite wrestlers are and they're going to – name you somebody that's on the charts today, you know, and it's like, I don't know, it's just, you gotta, if you're gonna be in it, you gotta know all about it, and you gotta read, like, History 101, that's what I did. I mean, just because I grew up in it doesn't mean I didn't study something that I loved because I loved it. I mean, I've got stacks and stacks of books on wrestling history, you know, women of wrestling, men of everything you could know about it because that's how much I cared about it, and it's respectful to know who paved the way for you. So the only thing I don't like about women's sports today is like, if you're going to be in it, know know the history so you can be the best.
Right. Exactly. Even the ones like even Kent, Candice from WWE, she came in not knowing anything about wrestling. She came from the reality show world, and right there when Austin, I thought Austin was going to actually flip when he was saying that what was your favorite match of her, and she was saying Melina and Alicia Fox.
Oh, my God, I remember that. I didn't know who the hell you were talking about when you said Candice. I was like, who is that? Because I don't really keep up with half of them, you know. But I do remember
right.
that. I didn't watch that show that much because at the time I was just, like, traveling a lot and stuff. But I happened to see that I was in a hotel, and I happened to flip it on, and I was like, ooh, this is on. I love Steve Austin. Like, I love him because he's so, like, honest and just – he is who he is. You know, he's always been one of my favorites. So I flipped it on, you know, and it was like right before that part came on, and it did his face when she said that. Right when she said it, I was like, because she paused for a minute, like she was looking around like, oh, no, like I need to think of somebody. And then she gave that answer, and I like right when she said it, I was like, oh, my God. No, you didn't. Like, yeah, so I remember that moment. I was dying. I was just like, oh, Lord. And that just kind of shows you what, you know, how if that was me and I was on that show, man, if I was in her position, I mean, I, you know, have an advantage of being born around it, hearing all the stories and being around some of those old school legends growing up. So I do have an advantage in that way. But if I was fresh off the boat, brand new in that world, didn't know anything about it, and I got a chance to be on that show and win that competition, I would have brought stack. I would have gone to Barnes & Noble's, bought the History of Wrestling 101, and been studying it every single night when I was off camera. You know what I mean? So it's just like, right. Yeah. But I remember that. I was like, I won't forget that moment.
Right. And yeah, she actually got it from Alicia's sister that was also there as a contestant.
Oh, wait, she got that answer from her?
Yeah, Alicia Fox's sister, yeah, told her that.
Man. Girls.
Yeah, and I still remember when they first started the Diva Search and Stacey Keibler wasn't really so fond of it, of the girls coming into it and not knowing anything, about 90% not knowing about the wrestling business.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would be either if I, you know what I mean? I mean, because, I mean, any girl coming into, like, my territory, I'm kind of an alpha female like that. I'm not going to, it's going to take a lot for you to get my approval. I mean, because girls are just, you know, there's a difference between girls and women, and Stacey Keibler's a woman, you know, I mean, legs of the business. I mean, look at her now. So I can understand that. I could see that for sure. I wouldn't like it either.
Right. And it, even the ones that, I think it was actually John Laurinaitis that signed them from a catalog or a model agency.
Yeah, I think I don't know how it works. I mean, I don't know if it's like, you know, they pick them straight from the indies or they just find them, some of them in a, it seems like they just find maybe some girls in the modeling world, or, and that's fine, you know. It's like, if you, I'm not knocking that because it's like, it's nobody's fault that they don't know about this. I mean, that just, they might just have not crossed that time in their life where it hits them and they fall in love. People find new passions every day. So it's like, if you came from, you know, modeling background, acting, whatever, if they picked you out of a magazine, that's fine. But my point is, if you do get picked and you know nothing about it and you get that opportunity, that 1% chance, that once in a lifetime opportunity, you better bust your ass and do everything you can or you're going to lose. And it's like, a part of that is, it's not just a physical part, it's not just looking pretty, it's not just in the ring work, it's the knowledge of who paved the way before you, you know? I mean, that's just common sense stuff, you know? It's like, if I'm going to start a new sport tomorrow, if I decide to pick up soccer tomorrow and become a world champ, I'm going to learn about soccer 101, you know?
Exactly.
But it shows. I mean, it shows on TV. It shows on camera. Who knows their stuff and who doesn't? I mean, you watch it today and you can tell really quick just by, well, obviously, by which person has the most in-ring time and who's sitting on the sidelines. And that's why, you know, I stick to what I know, you know. It's like I might do it one day, but not today. I'm happy with where I'm at, but I would never try it until I was fully confident that I'm taking home the belt and I'm winning. You know, I would never step into the ring or that world unless I wasn't ready for all that wrestling entails, I guess.
Right. And I do also have respect for the ones that came from cheerleader background and that was also a fan that grew up with it that made and with the WWE like Layla L and Naomi. And you can tell by they actually good workers. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Naomi a lot.
Yeah, and yeah, I think that they should hopefully they'll be using her more also.
Yeah, I mean, I hope the people who work hard, I hope it pays off, you know. I mean, I think anywhere, any kind of TV show or anything like that, it's like anywhere that's getting ratings, a lot of people just want to, or a lot of people that are in the spotlight today in the media and stuff like that is the people that catch the most drama, not necessarily the best ones, you know, so... I think whoever works the hardest, I hope they get the most time, you know.
Right. And definitely they need to get rid of the name Diva and go back to women.
I don't know. I think Diva's got a nice ring to it, you know. It's like that beyond, I'm a diva, you know. It's like women's a little bit too wordy. And a lot of them are really divas, so, you know, if the shoe fits.
Yeah, even though they, the model, I feel the models is kind of fading away. They only have a few ones left because Triple H took over and started bringing in women indies talent along with any of them that have like a, somewhat of a model career or if they're, all of us have a history that been in the business also.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's cool that I love anyone coming from, you know, people. If it's in their bloodline, I mean, obviously I'm partial to that because I know what that's like. And it's actually, it's not as easy as many people think. Like, just because you're born into it, you have so much more to prove in a way because you're coming from someone who is really legendary and really successful and really great, and you're having to, like, try to live up to that or be as successful, and it doesn't, you know, it's not as easy as it was back in the day when there wasn't the WWE and a TNA and it was your local, I mean, it was easier to create local stars and get out there and network. It was a smaller network, so... Today it's like you have to have the total package. You have to be 100% all the time, on the road, nonstop, going, flying everywhere around the world. I mean, it was just as hard back then because you're sitting in a car for 10 hours driving and making, and you know, barely enough to pay your bills. But in another way, today it's like it's harder just to get a shot. You know, it's harder to get a spot. So that's why it's like, you know, anyone that's looking to get into it should always have a backup plan because 99% are not gonna cut it. But I think there's definitely been like a rise I've noticed among like third generation, second generation people getting in the business, you know, and stuff like that because you know people are starting to realize like they got what it takes and how good they are because it's in their blood, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, we also see also other a lot of strong women promotions out there in the U.S. and other countries also.
Really? Well, give them my number because I haven't found any. I mean. That's funny you say that. If you find any, let me know where they're at because I would love to work for a woman promoter, you know.
Right, and they definitely have the Shemp, the one they call Sherman, have been out for I would say like 12 years now. Not 12, I've said.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
you're talking
10.
About all women's wrestling. Okay, I thought you were talking about actually
right.
Local women. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, I know a few of them, and yeah, I mean, they're awesome. I mean, look at the talent. Who wouldn't want to see, girls beating each other's asses. I mean, it's like common sense. I would go to it, but especially if I was a dude, you know. But yeah, they have a couple out there, and that's cool to see too. It's fun.
Right.
And I mean, we've taken over the boys' club.
Right. Even the women custom matches also.
Yep, there's customs out there too. I know people who have done it, and it's not something I'm knocking. It's not my thing. I don't think I would never do it, you know, just because I don't know. I like a crowd, you know. I mean, I like to piss people off and compete, and I like the thrill of that. So it's not something I've ever thought was, you know, up my alley at all.
Right. Yeah. But I think it's growing also, and with the Ronda Rouseys of the MMA world and UFC, definitely it can actually be more women like that in the big companies being taken seriously.
Yeah, that's right, because, I mean, men need to know that, I mean, women, we're always taking over. It's like we straight up come into the boys' club, whether you want us or not, and we're there to stay, and I think that's cool. No matter what industry it is, we have infiltrated and we have taken over because women are ruthless. But, no, I love Ronda Rousey, and she wasn't the first. I mean, she's not the first women's MMA fighter out there, but she's definitely the baddest that there is today, and, like, she put it on the map, you know? I mean, she's a bad girl, but I love her. I'm actually, like, a huge fan of hers, and I probably watch MMA more than I watch wrestling, to be real with you, because, I mean, it's the one sport, I mean, and that's why I love wrestling, too. It's like, I mean, there's tons of sports, football, basketball, whatever you're into, but fighting is the one sport that it's just you and one other person, and you are fighting to see who is the stronger man and who is the better man, and that's it. There's no fouls, there's no interference, like, it's just, like, man against man. I mean, it's the ultimate form of combat, the ultimate competition, you know, and that's what I love about it, is, like, there's no BS about it. Like, it is what it is. But I think Ronda Rousey could probably beat half of the dudes in MMA. Like, that's how awesome she is at judo.
Right, definitely. And she's definitely a big wrestling fan also. She was at a couple PWG shows also.
No, was she really?
The last one I recently seen several months ago, she was on there, and she actually took a chop to, I think, was it Busick or one of the hills that was on air.
That is awesome. I didn't even know that. That's cool. I didn't know she was a wrestling fan. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I've always been a fan of her, so.
Right, definitely. And she was there with the
They should get her in WWE. That's what they need to get.
Yeah.
They got Brock Lesnar. They need to get her in there and pull some moves. I mean, that would be awesome. I'd watch it. I'd watch it every day then.
Right. And she has her group, the Four Horsewomen.
Right.
And I think it's going to be more interesting going into this season, because they of Raw, that they now doing an angle on Twitter with AJ and Stephanie, with some of need to give the Divas a chance.
Like, what, there's, like, fighting, or what's the deal, or... Oh, you mean that match where they had, like, AJ against all the Divas or something like that?
Yeah, it seemed like they recreated it Twitter and made it more, like she said, a pipe bomb from yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really follow it too much because I don't know. Like, I just follow it if it's someone I respect and someone like I think is worth my time of sitting down and watching. You know, I think I'm not on Twitter or anything like that. I'm on Facebook and social media and stuff. But yeah, I just do my own thing. You know, it's like I'd rather be working out or something than it's. Sometimes it's just too much. I mean, it's like I like watching specific girls' matches or even specific guys' matches, but it's if they're going to be talking for 20 minutes, I'm out because, I mean, I can't focus that long. Call me ADHD, I guess. But, you know, it's like I want to see something live, something go down. So quit talking and do something, you know.
Right. And do you have anything to plug also?
Yeah, I'm in a show. I'm in Slam Fest Pro Wrestling. It's at it's gonna be Saturday, April 4th at 7:00. It's there's special meet and greet at 5:00. Ricky Morton, Al Snow, Tracy Smothers, X-Pac, DX. They're gonna be there, so you can meet them, get pictures taken, whatever you wanna do. It's gonna be in Sparta, Tennessee. You can go to slampro.com and look up the address or find it on Facebook. And for VIP gold tickets, you call 931-704-8475. General admission's at the door, and I'm going to be escorting Tracy Smothers for the first time. So it's a huge honor and one that I'm definitely going to take seriously. And, you know, people just need to know that they come out, they're going to see a lot of drama, a lot of action, a lot of hearts being broken because, you know, people like me are going to do whatever it takes to help my guy win, and you know that's it's in my blood. That's how Rossies do it. We win. We're winners, and you know the rest of the losers go home packing. So they can expect me to be there. I'm coming back full force, and you know if anyone wants to get in my way, better watch out.
Definitely awesome. And it's nice having you on Wrestling X Factor Radio. You can come back to the show anytime.
Thank you. It was great being here.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, I look forward to next time. Bye.
All right. You have a wonderful night.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was third generation superstar Roxy Rossi. Ladies and gentlemen, we out of time for the night. If you want to look for this archive, it's at Wrestling If Factor group page on Facebook. Or if you want to check the show page also on Facebook. It's Wrestling If Factor Radio Show. For all the archives there also. Or even at blogtalkradio.com under Wrestling If Factor Radio. This is Wayne Benitez signing off. Later.
Thank you.